Although horses do a very important job in the preserving of law and order, wireless is probably one of the things which has helped to catch many hundreds of crooks in recent years. A lot of police wireless equipment and many other types of wireless apparatus have been and are being made by a firm in King's Norton. The firm has had rather an unusual history, as you'll hear from this interview with Mr. Stratton Lawton.
Well, Mr. Lawton, would you tell me just why your firm turned over from making haberdashery and artificial jewellery over to the making of wireless receivers?
Well, it was really all due to Bubbed Hare.
Well, what's all that got to do with it, then?
Well, just prior to 1924, the Eton crop had become fashionable. All the ladies had cut off their hair, and there was practically no demand for hairpins. We were making something like 5 tons of hairpins per week.
Oh, quite a lot.
Yes, very large number. And this amounted to a very considerable sales value.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's this got to do with radio there?
Well, we had to replace sales with something, and at that time, I was a very keen radio enthusiast, and it was therefore decided that we should start a radio section and build up our lost sales with the sale of radio.
Well, at first, these were ordinary wireless receivers, but as competition from the larger firms grew greater, it was decided to make more specialised equipment for professional and amateur use. And they had very great success, until, like so many other concerns, they were bombed out, losing all their equipment and all the tools. Now, Mr. Edwards, the sales director, tells you what happened then.
On the outskirts of Birmingham was an establishment known as the Bathtub, a very popular lido in pre-war days. It was well fitted out with a large bathing pool, a restaurant, sunbathing decks, amusements. Owing to transport difficulties, the blackout and the general war effort, little use was being made of the amenities offered by the Bathtub, so we decided to take it over and turn the premises into a modern factory. This was easier said than done, but by working day and night, we made rapid progress. The dressing cubicles were removed and power presses installed. Machinery of various types occupied the ballroom. The artists' dressing rooms became offices. The fun fair became the packing department. The ice cream parlour was turned into a workshop. Kitchen and the restaurant, now the canteen, retained their original functions, about the only parts to do so. The bathing pool, holding just short of 1 million gallons of water, came in very useful as an emergency water supply. The chlorination plant was removed for use elsewhere in the war effort. Temporary huts were erected to hold raw materials whilst building operations proceeded. The sunbathing terraces around the pool were covered and more machinery installed. The air raid shelters were built, and adequate space was made available for the tool room, development department, and so on.
What a marvellous piece of organisation. Well, then we had a word with the technical director.
Now, Mr. Cox, I suppose that when the war came along, that quite a lot was expected from you at this factory, was it not?
Yes, we had a great deal of designing and manufacturing to do. We had contracts from all of the services for various equipment and component parts.
Mm-hmm.
One of the items of component part that we manufactured was variable condensers.
Mm-hmm.
These were used on radar, but...
It's rather surprising how I came to discover that particular condenser. During the war, I served with a Fleet Air Arm, and I was taking to pieces one of the special airborne radar sets, the IFF set, and lo and behold, when the cover came off, what should I see but one of these... very secret and special condensers that we'd been making.
And you, Mr. Cox, didn't know anything about it, what the condensers
time.
Were going to?
Not at the time we were manufacturing them. We didn't find out until quite a long time afterwards.
Mm-hmm. What other things were you making then?
Radio telephones was another item that we made. We made many thousands of these.
Mm-hmm.
A large number of them were used by the police,
mm-hmm.
and the Admiralty also used a considerable number of these. And a lot of those were used, we believe, on D-Day.
Well, quite an impressive war effort. Well, now, of course, they're back to peacetime work, and turning out commercial communications receivers and thousands of accessories and components. Now, Mr. Lawton, to whom we spoke first of all, who himself is the director of the firm, spends most of his time in Australia. Now, we pointed out to him that most sets in this country have a shortwave band, but that not many people bother to use them. Now, we asked him if the same was the case in Australia.
Well, in Australia, I think conditions are very much the same as in England. There are so many broadcast stations, local ones, that not so much interest is shown by the average listener for overseas broadcast. Although, of course, you always get the enthusiast.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, when you come to many of the colonies in West Africa and East Africa, things are different. There are coffee planters and rubber planters and miners, people getting things out of the earth and so on, and they are hundreds of miles from anywhere and have no local broadcasting stations of their own, and they are dependent upon overseas broadcasts.
Those are the people to whom the sound of Big Ben really means something, then?
Yes, indeed. I do know myself that things like that, when you're in a strange country or you're far away from your own homeland, do mean much.
So you are building sets for these people, for these tea planters and groundnut planters and all those sort of people, so they can pick up the voice of home quite easily, then?
Yes, that is one of our peacetime functions. That is one of the things that we have turned over from the wartime communication receiver to the peacetime receiver for the planter and the miner overseas and in remote countries to listen to programs from England and other countries.